Hello, everybody. This is Ken Ainge.
And Jane Nelson.
And welcome to Focusing on Solutions from PositiveDiscipline.com. And we received an email question that we're going to answer today during this podcast.
Yes, because I thought it would be easier to just talk this one through than to write about it. And so first I am going to read the question.
Okay.
And then I'll answer it. I am the stepmom of two active boys, one who is 6 and one who is 9. After I moved in a year ago, their father and I have been using your positive approach to raising our kids. Some days we are good at it, and some days we have to go back to the books. Isn't that true of all of us? I have two questions. You're always talking about appropriate consequences. Can you give a novice some specific examples for what appropriate consequences are? What could you do when your 6, then 5-year-old kindergartner, who has never in daycare, won't speed up in the morning, and is in danger of missing the bus? There is a second question, but I'm going to just answer the first one this time.
Okay.
Because, first of all, I'm thinking that this person must have read a very old book, because our focus now is to not use, in fact, I have articles on the website that say no more logical consequences, at least hardly ever. And I'd like to talk about why that is. There's quite a history, because Dreiker's taught about using logical consequences, but even he, when I went back and did the research, found out the same thing I did, and that is that what too many parents are doing are trying to disguise punishment by calling it consequences, and they're not fooling the kids at all. The other thing is that even as it sounds in this question, is that some people think that consequences are the only tools in their toolbox, that everything should include a consequence. And as what we're really doing now, and even the name of this podcast, is focusing on solutions. So let's just take a look at this. What would you do when a child won't speed up in the morning and is in danger of missing the bus? So that's where we want to go. And what would you do instead of consequences? First of all, a theme of positive discipline is getting children involved. And one way to get them involved, first of all, is to creating a routine chart with them. Now, you'll notice I say with them, not for them. So to take this little 6-year-old, sit down with them and say, okay, what are the things you need to do? First of all, to create a bedtime routine chart, because part of that is getting ready for the morning. So you might say, what are the things you need to do before you go to bed at night? And it will include take a bath, brush their teeth, get their jammies on, read a story. But one of the things you want to include in there is, what about choosing your clothes to wear the next morning? And Ken, do you remember when I did this with...
That's a big one. Choosing the clothes is the big one.
But remember when I did this with Kara, your daughter,
yeah.
Kara?
You have a picture of that, don't you, somewhere?
Yeah, could we include that on the...
Yeah, we'll include that as an example. You can send me the picture. We'll put it up there on the podcast webpage, which is positivedisciplinecom/podcast.
Okay, so...
So you see a little example there of what it looked like with Kara's.
I do need to say that on that one, to fit the overhead projector, it isn't all down in a row. I kind of squeezed them across the page, but it would be down in a row. And part of it is that once you brainstorm with them what you want, that what they need to do, then you take pictures from today. It's just so easy to take a digital picture, and you post that after each task that they've agreed, after they get them in order. And that's the other thing, you'll say, which do you do first, then what? And so they create this whole list.
And if you don't have pictures, you can always color and do drawings,
or let them draw them, or pick out pictures of magazines, whatever they want to do to make it their list. And one of the cute things about Kara is that the last thing was sleep, and so she says, Grandma, you got to take a picture of me sleeping, because that's the last thing. So she gets up in her little bed and pretends she's asleep so she can have a picture of her sleeping. But then you also then create a morning routine chart, and what is it that they need to do in the morning? And they have their whole list of what they need to do, and it can include what time they get up and how they get up, and they make their beds, and do they help with breakfast? What do they do to help? Do they need to contribute, whether it's to make the toast, set the table, whatever it is? But you might be surprised how well this works and how much more children are more willing to do and to follow a list that they have helped create. And then parents, instead of saying, hurry up, get dressed, you're going to miss the bus, they can just say, what do you need to do next? What's on your routine chart? It gets back to those old what questions that we ask, that we're always suggesting that parents ask instead of telling, asking, what do you need to do, so that they have to think about it and they feel empowered because they come up with the idea instead of being told, which just creates the resistance. And So I'm really just going to suggest that this is something that you try, and I would love to hear how it works.
Okay. So
should we go to the next part of the question?
Yeah, let's do the next part of the question now.
My second question is a bit more complicated, and it is. It involves their mom. We have sole custody of the kids, but she gets visitation privileges every other weekend. There is no discipline when the kids are with her. They stay up as late as they want, eat nothing nutritious, talk back to her, fight with each other, all the things they do not do when they are with us. Talking to her is not an option, so we do the best we can when the kids are with us, but sometimes it takes a full week to get the kids back to the routine after being with her. That we can kind of handle, but now summer break is here and they are going to be with her for 6 weeks total. Off and on, we arrange it so the kids are not with her the full 6 weeks at one time. So the question becomes, how do we keep positive discipline and all the things we have learned together going when they are in such completely different environments? Well, I just want to answer that, first of all, you cannot change another person. We all know that. The good news is that children are very resilient, and they usually know what works in one place and what doesn't work in another. And there might be some transition period, but what I would suggest is that you have a family meeting, and you might want to listen to the family meeting podcast, because when you have a family meeting and you share with the kids what the problems are and let them come up with what could be some solutions and what would help them to make the transition, and during that time, remember, this is not a lecture. It's inviting them to share their ideas about what makes it hard for them to make the transition, what would make it easier for them. What do they understand about how different things might be different in one place and in another? And what are the rules? And what do we do here? And how do we treat each other with respect? You do not want to talk against their mother. That is not healthy at all. It's just helping them understand that different people do things differently. And this is the way we do it here. And how can you help them adjust to the differences? Because children can adjust. But it helps if you help let them come up with some ideas and teach them some skills.
Okay, well, thank you, Jane. Also, if anybody else has questions that they would like to ask that we can talk about on the podcast, go ahead and email them to jane@positivediscipline.com, and we'll work on that.
First of all, I need to say that I can't promise I'll get to all of them, but it would be helpful if they would say it's okay to do this on a podcast, because I do have to say it's easier for me to just talk than to sit down and write it out.
Okay, great. So until next time, this is Ken Ainge.
And Jane Nelson.
For Focusing on Solutions from PositiveDiscipline.com.
What does Allison Krauss remember about music class when she was a kid?
My fondest memory of music class is kind of just an overall memory, not a specific instance, because music was something completely different than any other class in school. It was, I remember it as all being fun, and the reward wasn't, you know, a great test score, and it wasn't a higher grade. It was getting to be a part of an ensemble and singing something at the end where everybody knew their part. It was all fun and games to me, and you made friends. You know, I found that you made friends that lasted really long time, at least the ones that, for me, that have lasted the longest are ones that I met in school chorus or in music classes, and not who I sat next to in math.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, Gibson Guitar, Baldwin Piano, and this station. Music, part of a sound education.